Good morning, everybody. My name is Madeline Stringer. It's my turn this week to take the service. We have this system of open pulpit. If you don't like what I say, that's absolutely fine. Just give your name to Gavin and he'll let you get up there sometime and give your opinion. The opening words, if you'd like to join in, I'm going to use 437 in the hymn book, and you can join in the bit in italics. I'm going to read them as well because what you say doesn't turn up on the webcam. Let us worship with our eyes and ears and fingertips. Let us love the world through heart and mind and body. We feed our eyes upon the mystery and revelation in the faces of our brothers and sisters. We seek to know the wistfulness of the very young and the very old, the wistfulness of people in all times of life. We seek to understand the shyness behind arrogance, the fear behind pride, the tenderness behind clumsy strength, the anguish behind cruelty. All life flows into a great common life if we will only open our eyes to our companions. Let us worship, not in bowing down, not with closed eyes and stopped ears. Let us worship with the opening of all the windows of our beings, with the full outstretching of our spirits. Life comes with singing and laughter, with tears and confiding, with a rising wave too great to be held in the mind and heart and body to those who have fallen in love with life. Let us worship and let us learn to love. Now going to light the chalice, and unfortunately I'm lighting it for two people who we hold in our hearts. Rory's granddaughter Cara had a serious accident recently, so I'm going to ask you to think of her and her mum Katie and all the family as we light the candle, and also our own Doreen, who is recovering in hospital after an operation. Flame of fire, spark of the universe that warmed our ancestral hearth, agent of life and death, symbol of truth and freedom, we strive to understand ourselves and our earthly home. And we're going to sing a first hymn. It's number 12, O Life That Maketh All Things New. May the glory of the passing away of autumn lie about us, fresh gold for a time. And when the dark comes and the cold, may we remember how today we stand in glory, how we walk in bounty heaped upon earth's dark carpet, how we move knee-deep in abundance. Earth Mother, Star Mother, you who are called by a thousand names, may all remember we are cells in your body and dance together. You are the grain and the loaf that sustains us each day, as you are patient with our struggles to learn, so we shall be patient with ourselves and each other. We are radiant light and sacred dark, the balance. You are the embrace that heartens and the freedom beyond fear. Within you we are born, we grow, live and die. You bring us around the circle to rebirth. Within us you dance forever. The reader today is Mary.
Good morning, everybody. My reading today is from Opening Doors Within. It's a book by a book of 365 daily meditations written by Eileen Caddy. And Eileen, she was a mystic, a spiritual teacher, an author, and co-founder of the Findhorn community. Eileen received guidance on how to live her life from an inner source that she called the still small voice within, or the God within. She dedicated time during the day for what she called her appointments with God. And following this inner spiritual guidance led to the unintentional founding of Findhorn, which is an inspiring and thriving spiritual community in Scotland. Admittedly, it has had difficulties during and since COVID, but its members are meditating and listening to that still small voice within, and they are rebuilding. As part of this rebuilding of the community, there's a daily online meditation where the facilitator reads from Eileen's book, Opening Doors Within, encouraging us to be still, listen to the guidance, and translate this inner guidance into action. So the meditation for today, the 14th of September, is what I'm going to read. Let there be balance in everything. Work hard, but also learn to play hard and to do what you love doing, whatever it may be. It matters not whether your pleasures are simple or extravagant, as long as you find a real joy in them. When you are doing something you enjoy, it matters not how strenuous it may be. You will not feel exhausted, but exhilarated and uplifted. Work should never be a drudgery, and it never will be when your attitude towards it is right and you enjoy what you are doing. When you have balance in your life, you will find a wholeness in life, and you will not have an overdose of either work or play. One is as bad as the other. Never compare your pleasures with anyone else's. What you enjoy doing may not appeal to anyone else. Do what you enjoy doing. Let the others follow what appeals to them. Live and let live.
Now, this is the children's story. So if anybody considers themselves a child, they can come and sit up the front and I'm going to read the story. Just to warn the rest of you, this is a picture book and the children are going to see the pictures. You're not. I'm just going to read it down here. There's no point in trying to show you the pictures. Birds sing, bees dance, wolves howl. I am here, I am here. But we are the ones who tell stories. We are the ones who tell stories. We tell of gods and goddesses dancing in the sky. We sing of our hunters during the nobility of the beast that fills our bellies and of the generosity of the morning sun, the gift of the smiling moon. These are the people a long time ago, and they thought the people, the stars, were the gods. Oh, I've missed this bit. We chant in temples, in sweat lodges, in churches, in shrines, celebrating our lives, honoring our dead. We love our stories. We live our stories. Long ago, we told of a flat world built on the back of a turtle, or held up by elephants, the elephants standing on the turtle, or simply floating beneath a fixed dome of the sky. But most agreed that this earth stretching away on every side was flat. This is a long time ago. And we took care not to sail too close to the edge lest we tumble into the abyss. Always, though, there are those among us, curious and courageous too, who dare challenge even the stories we love, even the stories we live by. What if, they said, the gods and goddesses dancing in the sky are truly distant suns? What if, they said, our flat earth is not flat at all? What if the earth is round?
The earth is round.
They were right, weren't they?
It's actually pretty shaped like an egg.
It took us a long time to believe in stars as distant suns, a long time to believe in a round earth. A very long time to follow those distant suns. Over the edge that was no edge and return home again. See, they went all round and they're going back to where they started. And an even longer time to find new stories for this new round world.
This is not very important.
Okay, well, you can discuss that in the children's club later, okay? Because you're going to take the book downstairs. Do you see, we said, how suns and moons and stars wheel across our sky, rising, setting, rising again? Our world may be strangely round, we said, yet it still stands at the centre of the universe. And we, living on this round world, we stood, still stand at the centre of the universe. And all, we said, still revolves around us. We loved our new stories. We lived our new stories. But some went right on questioning. What if, they said, our earth does not stand at the centre? What if, they said, the centre is our sun? What if earth is but one of many planets revolving around, around, around our shining sun? We not at the centre, how could that be? We struggled until we found a new story. Perhaps our earth is not at the centre, we said. Yet our sun is the grandest of all the stars of the entire universe, we said. The entire universe travels around our sun. Our Earth, we said, is the most important planet.
I don't have to worry about this.
And we said, are the most important of all. We told this new story everywhere on this round Earth until it was a story to love, a story to live by.
This is nonsense.
Okay, well, we'll discuss that later. Yet some kept right on questioning and they kept finding new answers. Our sun, they said, is not the center of the universe. It is one of hundreds of billions of stars, and those are only the ones in the Milky Way. The Milky Way, they said, is one of 2 trillion galaxies in the known universe. The known universe, they said, is the light that has traveled towards us since the beginning of time. Our universe has been expanding, rushing away from us in every direction, and beyond all we can see and measure and know, might that be infinity?
Pictures are really nice.
Aren't they? Infinity filled with every possibility, perhaps even other universes. So here we are on a medium-sized planet circling an average star in an ordinary galaxy in an imaginably vast universe, a universe that is mostly dark and mostly empty, more nothingness than we know how to imagine. We, dust on a planet made of dust. How do we love such a story? How do we live such a story? But listen, listen, once more, the curious sail forth asking questions, and once more they return home filled with discovery. Yes, they say, yes, the universe is expanding, rushing away from us in every direction. Yes, if our universe is indeed infinite, we do once more stand at the center, even of all that leaving. Wherever we are is the center. Yes, they say, yes, we are made of dust, but it is the dust of stars. Yes, they say, yes, most of the universe is dark, dark, dark. But there is no nothingness, only mystery, fascinating mystery. Our universe, a continuous, restless, swarming, interesting, evolving, growing, and we interacting, evolving, growing too. For we are part of everything, and everything is part of us. Dogs bow, prairie dogs kiss, fireflies flash, come to me, come to me. Trees talk to one another underground. And we, the curious ones, the ones who discover, tell stories. The universe is waiting. What will you discover? What stories will you tell? And our next hymn is number 67. We sing now together. My reading today is a series of bits that are just going to shore up what I'm going to say in the address later, which is about the body. And the first few bits are from various Psalms, Deuteronomy, and Corinthians. And then there's a more amusing story. Psalm 47, O clap your hands, all ye people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Psalm 134, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Throughout the Bible, prayer and worship happen through bodies. Worshippers not only lift their hands, but also stand, kneel, bow down with faces to the ground, sing and shout. Deuteronomy says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And Corinthians says, know ye are not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own. For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And now I'm going to read a piece that's normally read at Christmas, but it just happens to fit my thinking today. This is G.K. Chesterton and why he still believes in Santa Claus. What has happened to me has been the very reverse of what appears to be the experience of most of my friends. Instead of dwindling to a point, Santa Claus has grown larger and larger in my life until he fills almost the whole of it. It happened in this way. As a child, I was faced with a phenomenon requiring explanation. I hung up at the end of my bed an empty stocking, which in the morning became a full stocking. I had done nothing to produce the things that filled it. I had not worked for them, or made them, or helped to make them. I had not even been good, far from it. And the explanation was that a certain being, whom people call Santa Claus, was benevolently disposed toward me. What we believed was that a certain benevolent agency did give us those toys for nothing, and as I say, I believe it still, I have merely extended the idea. Then I only wondered who put the toys in the stocking. Now I wonder who put the stocking by the bed, and the bed in the room, and the room in the house, and the house on the planet, and the great planet in the void. Once I only thanked Santa Claus for a few dolls and crackers. Now I thank him for the stars and street faces and wine and the great sea. Once I thought it delightful and astonishing to find a present so big that it only went halfway into the stocking. Now I am delighted and astonished every morning to find a present so big that it takes two stockings to hold it and then leaves a great deal outside. It is the large and preposterous present of myself, as to the origin of which I can offer no suggestion, except that Santa Claus gave it to me in a fit of peculiarly fantastic goodwill. Let us pray. This again is one you can join in. It's number 530. And then after this prayer, there'll be a silence, and then there's going to be a song on the sound system. Out of the stars in their flight, out of the dust of eternity, here have we come. Stardust and sunlight mingling throughout time and through space. Out of the stars have we come, up from time. Out of the stars have we come. Time out of time before time in the vastness of space, Earth spun to orbit the sun. Earth with the thunder of mountains newborn, the boiling of seas. Earth warmed by sun, lit by sunlight. This is our home. Out of the stars have we come. Mystery hidden in mystery, back through all time. Mystery rising from rocks in the storm and the sea. Out of the stars, rising from rocks and the sea, kindled by sunlight on earth, arose life. Ponder this thing in your heart. Ponder with awe. Out of the sea to the land, out of the shallows came ferns. Out of the sea to the land, up from darkness to light, rising to walk and to fly. Out of the sea trembled life. Ponder this thing in your heart, life up from the sea. Eyes to behold, throats to sing, mates to love. Life from the sea, worn by sun, washed by rain. Life from within, giving birth, rose to love. This is the wonder of time. This is the marvel of space. Out of the stars swung the earth. Life upon earth rose to love. This is the marvel of life, rising to see and to know. Out of your heart, cry wonder, sing that we live.
I hope you'll never lose your sense of wonder. You get your fill to eat, but always keep that hunger. May you never take one single breath for granted. God forbid a love ever leaves you empty-handed. I hope you still feel small when you stand beside the ocean. Whenever one door closes, I hope one more opens. Promise me that you'll give faith a fighting chance. And when you get the choice, sit it out or dance. I hope you dance. I hope you dance. I hope you never fear those mountains in the distance. settle for the path of least resistance. Living might mean taking chances, but they're worth taking. Loving might be a mistake, but it's worth making. Don't let some helping heart leave you bitter. When you come close to selling out, reconsider. Give the heavens above more than just a passing glance. And when you get the choice to sit it out or dance, I hope you dance. The ocean. Whenever one door closes, I hope one more opens. Promise me that you'll give faith a fighting chance. And when you get the choice to sit it out or dance.
I've called this address, With My Body I Thee Worship. I'm sure you're all familiar with this title as the wonderful euphemism from the marriage service, but I'm not going to give you a spicy talk, sorry. It'll come clear in time why I chose this title, apart from, of course, making you all keen to attend. I was brought up agnostic, but with a Protestant culture and a Church of England baptismal certificate, so they told me, I never saw it. I think they brought me to church about four times, but it didn't stick. Then I tried in my teens to be a Christian, firstly as a Methodist, like my friend at the time. Later, I tried to be Church of Ireland. I was at a Church of Ireland service one time when a posse from the youth group had returned from a stint volunteering in Africa, I think helping to build a school, and they were up on the altar steps giving a report about the experience. They finished by telling us that their hosts had taught them a local hymn, which they were going to teach us. We were asked to join in once we got the hang of it and to copy their actions. This meant basically waving their arms to and fro during the chorus. So I put my arms in the air and waved, only to realize that I was in a very small minority. In fact, from where I was sitting near the front, I couldn't see any raised arms, so I felt very foolish and waved my arms at a lower level. Well, everyone else seemed to be sitting on their hands. I've wondered from time to time why this is. These people would consider themselves normal and outgoing. So why this embarrassment at being asked to wave their arms in time to a song? I've a horrible suspicion that this congregation, yes, I mean you, might be the same, silently labeling it as childish or silly or just unnecessary or too evangelical. As an aside, why on earth would we hand over something as simply as waving to the evangelists? We are quite a physically repressed culture. Think of our dancing. Until Michael Flatley gave it a good shaking, it only happened from the knees down. There's a lovely video on YouTube of an African man, Irish dancing in the street in Waterford. You'll find it under some crack on O'Connell Street. Below his thighs, he's doing the traditional 1-2-3, 1-2-3, but from the hips up, he's in Africa. His body and arms are fully involved. It's just wonderful seeing what can be done if we could only all unbutton. I noticed this physical discomfiture when I was doing physical therapy. Very few clients could relax, and almost all of them thought this was the natural way to be. We've been taught without actual lessons to be stiff and almost ashamed of our bodies. We're very good in this church at silences, at thinking or meditating, which in my mind is the same thing, except for those few who actually manage to empty their minds. Why would we shy away from a physical expression of awareness or happiness? We express emotion through movement. Quite often we cry when we're sad. We're said to wring our hands when we're worried or deeply grieved. We clap to show we agree with a speaker or think a performer has done well. We run towards returning loved ones in airport and share hugs. And as children, we may have jumped up and down with happiness or excitement. Footballers do all sorts of happy gymnastics after getting a goal. So can we wave our arms in joy? While I was thinking up this address, I had the idea to read you a piece from a wonderful book called Married to a Bedouin. But when I went to look for it, the piece was so short, I'm just going to tell you about it instead. The Bedouin Jordanian women blended prayer into their everyday actions, for instance, saying Bismillah, which means in the name of God, before starting to knead their bread. This turned the whole physical act of kneading into an act of worship, but they probably didn't really think about it any more than an Irish person does when they say, please God, after see you on Tuesday. So is it worship? And what is worship anyway? Professor Brian Cox, the well-known TV personality, whose thesis was called Double Diffraction Dissociation at Large Momentum Transfer, so he knows about stuff, has said that he has no personal faith, but that he cannot be sure there's no God. He has described us, humanity, as being the universe's way of learning about itself, that we are pieces of the whole divided off in order to have experiences. I like this idea, for it makes us God, if there is a God. I personally don't think there's a sentient God, though I am happy to think there may be spirits of a lower level who organize minor things for us, but this is not the point I'm making today. What I'm hoping by this talk is to make everyone more aware of their body as a way of expressing their feelings about the day, particularly on the happy days, not just in church. Wouldn't it be fun to do a conga around the pews? But all the time. We sing hymns, which is a fine way of using our bodies to worship, that is, to become aware of the fact we are alive and I hope are mostly happy about it. But there are many other things we can do to express our awareness of our place in the grand scheme. This is, I think, what worship is. It is for me that sense of awe that is there whenever I stop to think about it. I don't too often because it can be overwhelming. To actually get your head around the fact that our little planet is here on the edge of the Milky Way, but in the midst of a universe that is truly endless. That for whatever reason, life as we know it became possible here, and that because of a whole series of accidents, I was born and have survived for this long and mostly enjoyed myself. It is mind-blowing. It is coming face to face with this that I think of as worship. The oh wow moment when once again you realize what a miracle you are involved with. You don't have to be in church for this. In fact, I think church is where we come to put manners on our oh wows. They're more usual in day-to-day life. For some, it's when the sun breaks through and lights up a beautiful scene. For some, it's reading some really well-put words. For some, it's a delicious food or a piece of music. Any of those sorts of material things that can make us go, oh wow, if our awareness of worship has been switched on. Musicians may have it easy. Everything they do is physical. But are musicians always aware of the wonder of their ability as they play, or only of being outside themselves in the music? I suppose I'm talking about mindfulness, which is a word I dislike because it brings us back into a sort of thinking state again, which we do too much of. It would be great to be physical and enjoy it without making it intellectual. Many religions do this. The Sikhs in the Golden Temple in Amritsar feed thousands of people daily. The act of preparing the food is an act of worship and a really useful one that visitors are invited to join in. We all know of the whirling dervishes who spin themselves into a trance. While all Muslims kneel and bow their faces to the ground in a repetitive pattern that I think could become joyful, at least so long as you don't have bad arthritis. But a thought on the side, would all that movement slow down the development of stiffness and pain? The Hindu religion contains many examples of the use of movements that are dance or dance-like. When I was lucky enough to visit India, we passed in our car a small procession of local people going to a temple for a celebration. There was loud music from a sound system on the lorry that was leading, and then a colourful crowd of dancing, laughing people who turned wonderful smiles to us and waved as we took a photo. Some Hindu events, they don't really have services as we know them, include waving arms and dancing feet, even in the temple. The seven priests on the banks of the Ganges in Varanasi every evening, as they say goodnight to Mother River, make movements with their lamps. For the festival of Holi, people throw coloured powders on each other, which causes much merriment. There are movements and gestures that go with the prayers of Aarti and Puja, and on other occasions, walking around a shrine is a part of the worship. Jewish worship has contained movements since the beginning. It's common for Jews who are standing to pray to rock to and fro, and there are patterns of approved movements to go with prayers. A psalm quoted in Midrash Tehillin, an 11th century exegetical text, which means a text that explains a passage after careful study, says, "All my limbs shall say, who is like you, O Lord?" It also mentions the use of the nose to smell and the ears to hear. I like the idea that simply smelling something is an act of worship. It can be if you become aware of what you're doing and revel in it. I'm allergic to peaches, so can't eat them, but stood recently in a supermarket surrounded by their scent and felt a moment of happiness. Pilgrimage is an example of an enormous physical input into worship. The Camino is popular nowadays, but people go to many shrines as an act of worship. The trip to Mecca is one of the five pillars of Islam. Lough Derg is a well-known Irish one, but isn't it so like us misery guts that you have to walk on sharp stones barefoot and have nothing much to eat, instead of reveling in the fresh air and scenery and maybe even dancing? Fasting is common in many religions, but I think the feasting that follows is the real worship as you discover again the joy of what you denied yourself. The iftar, the meal Muslims break their daily fast with during Ramadan, Easter eggs in the days when we'd eaten no chocolate for 40 days, the bagels and cream cheese often eaten after a Yom Kippur fast. These must all bring a special joy. And foods that are traditional to particular festivals bring us all a happiness often linked to nostalgia. We miss them when we don't get them. And eating them is an act of worship in a way. First mince pie of the year, anyone? All that cooking can be an act of worship, especially if it's done communally. We do something right, in my opinion, when we share drinks. We raise the glasses and say cheers or sláinte. Many languages use a word that means health, but I think cheers in the French, à la vôtre, have it right. It's simply a moment of celebration of being us, of being alive. We're all aware of the endorphins that turn up when we exercise. What we don't always do is tune into this feeling and become fully aware of the wonder of actually having a body. And now, two quotes without known authors. You can worship God as you teach your class in school, or stock a shelf, or negotiate a contract, or promote a candidate, or hug your children, or build a house for homeless people. Our souls and our bodies are deeply connected. What we experience on the inside deserves to be expressed in actions, and the actions of our bodies often influence and shape our hearts. So, whether you consider it worship or not, I hope that, like the song said, when you get the choice to sit it out or dance, I hope you dance. Amen. And now we're going to sing hymn 151, I Wish I Knew How, which is one that always makes we want to dance. So let's be brave. Not let embarrassment or misplaced shame or fear of being thought childish stop us. Please move your feet, click your fingers, wave your hands, or if you're really courageous, actually dance. Let's have fun and be really aware of our existence in this moment and carry on afterwards as the collection is taken. Thank you. Thank you to everybody who helped with this service, Mary for the reading, and I think for the flowers as well, Paula for welcoming us all in, whoever's making the coffee and tea downstairs, which of course you're all invited to, fair trade tea and coffee downstairs. And if you've never been here before, it's free. So thanks to everybody, Ayla of course, for cleaning and getting everything ready for us. The notices. Our weekly service of reflection in the church is every Wednesday from 1:05 to 1:35. These sessions can also be accessed live on the webcam. The book club is reading the Aspern Papers by Henry James this month. They'll gather on the last Wednesday of the month in the vestry, which is the 24th of September. You can get details from Alison. Culture Night is on Friday the 19th of September, and our programme this year will include a series of musical recitals beginning at 5:30. We'll have the Dawson Chorus, a wonderful newly formed choir from this neighbourhood, our own classical musicians network, organist Olicia Borsuk, and the evening will conclude with Josh and Mark Hutchinson's Mind Travels. Thank you to everyone who's volunteered to help us on the night. And if you wish to volunteer, speak to Gavin or Josh. Volunteers just have to make sure that everybody behaves themselves when they're here and give them a nice welcome. We're having a Harvest Thanksgiving lunch on Sunday, the 5th of October, directly after the Harvest service. All are invited to share food and enjoy company and conversation. Diners are asked to make a donation, which will be sent to Christian Aid. So volunteers are needed to provide food. This is salads, different salad things, quiches, all that sort of cold stuff. Bring in something. You don't have to feed all 50 people. Bring enough from up to 6 to 10 people, and it'll all share around beautifully. And people need to prepare the room and serve and clean up. So Bridget is organizing this, so if you could talk to her about what you're going to bring. The Seeking Paradise Reading Group will begin on Thursday, the 25th of September, and they're on every Thursday until the 4th of December. The group is full up, I'm told. Gavin has copies of the first chapter for those who are participating and they're here, and the books are ordered and on the way, and please talk to Gavin about it if you've any questions. And of course, I forgot to thank all of you for joining in so beautifully with the dancing. It was really lovely. And we're going to have another dancey hymn now, number 311. Let it be a dance. We do. For all who see God, may God go with you. For all who embrace life, may life return your affection. For all who seek a right path, may a way be found, and the courage to take it, step by step. Amen.